Okay. All right, well, 7 o'clock, call to order at Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to all public that all meetings are recorded. Any public comments on any matters not on the agenda? Okay, seeing that there's none, highlight consent agenda. Any items that need to be moved?
No. Move to approve.
Second.
So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And this is my first one, just so everybody knows. All right, regular agenda. Final review and approval of the governance policy.
I did look through it, and I moved to approve as edited.
Do we have a second? Any public comment on the governance policy? Okay.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is it Justin's feedback?
Update on the sound system and conference room.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're evidently improving our sound system. As you can see, it's sort of silver duct, no, black duct taped. We're still kind of organizing. We just got this thing put together this afternoon. It's set up to have a total of 12 channels, but the way it's connected, we have really a total of 11. And we have one microphone that's missing, the stand. It will be a permanent stand on the podium. And then there'll be a person here that could have a microphone. And it is also capable of recording, so we can put a recorder with it. If we want to do our minutes and stuff off of that, we can do that. I think, this is, again, it's your first meeting, but it's also the first meeting of this. We just have to try it out and see how it works and what works best. But what, and we have to compliment Alan, our resident sound engineer, who's volunteered to fine-tune it and help get it going. We still have to train some cable over the ceiling and back over to the amplifier. We also have to train some cables and build some things underneath here so it'll be easier to set up and take down. And Brian gave us a cart that we can put everything on, so once we get this down, you can roll the cart out, run the cables out, set it up, and it shouldn't take about 10 minutes to set up and take down. So, and I think in the long run, it's going to help our public. So our audience out here, if you don't hear something or doesn't sound right, we'd appreciate your feedback. No, that's the wrong term in this kind of system. But let us know what we can do to make it better. And then we'll try to get the word out so our really hard of hearing people will be able to come and enjoy the meeting. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys both for the time spent and getting the system set up. It looks great, and I think it sounds pretty good. Next item, discussion on the audit. Final results, letter back. Who's doing that
one?
Actually, the letter came, yeah.
Yeah, and Perry came and looked at a sample of the employee files, and Lana, to all her, she gets all the credit. We're perfect, impeccable, and he was here no more than a half hour, I would say, going through that and said, we're fine.
Okay.
Clean review.
Do we need any...
I don't believe it requires, that actually requires any action.
Okay.
It would if it wasn't clean.
Okay, perfect. Next item, the audit for 2019.
That process has been started, and basically this is just a letter laying out the process. Same firm that performed our audit last year. We had a 3-year contract with them. Sydney's performing that audit again this year. And not sure, is there anything else that you need to add to that? I mean, that's it in a nutshell, unless somebody's looking for something specific.
October 8th is the day they'll be here to do all the field work and look through files and whatnot.
Okay. So. When was that contract worth? Just curious what that's worth.
You remember the...
I don't have that number.
I guess I don't want to go on record. I don't recall it exactly.
Yeah, I was just curious.
It was less than... There was a little bit of a trade-off. We had paid more in the previous contract, but when Rosie was on board, she was producing the financial statements. So it was a little bit of a wash. We were paying some of Rosie's time to produce financial statements, but it resulted in a reduction of the audit cost with the auditing firm. And so moving forward, now that we have and everybody's aware of the fact that Rosie has decided to move on to different things with her life, and so we have a new firm, Anderson's or Mullins, doing our accounting, and Cheryl's been working with the representative from Missoula pretty closely here. I was over one day, and they're working on trying to move into the 21st century with some of the technology there in terms of scanning documents and creating digital data files instead of shuffling file cabinets full of paper. So we're trying to improve that process. It's like with anything else, there's going to be some glitches along the way, but Cheryl, if you have anything that you want to throw into that process.
No, I think it's just going to streamline, you know, check writing, invoice, compilation. It's going to be much better, I think, than where we're at.
And one thing that does get measured in the auditing process is the robustness of our accounting. And that's one thing that we've really done a good job on, and the idea is to maintain that process. So there's always still going to be the checks, with the administrative assistant as the invoices come in, with staff in terms of checking off invoices. That same process will always be in place. Trustee signing the check, and then board approval of the consent, and then finally an audit, an annual audit, because our budget's large enough. So the robustness of their checks and balances in the financial process should be maintained, and hopefully it'll create this electronic data file. And that data file, by the way, will be accessible. It'll be on our Google Docs, and so it'll be accessible by trustees. Awesome. And it'll make it easier if a member of the public wants to see one of the invoices. As we get more familiar with this, it'll make it a lot easier to look something up if there's some question about, how did you guys spend money on this particular project or item or something.
Awesome. That's something I never got, was the access to Google Docs. Who do I talk to?
I'll follow up on that.
Okay.
Any public comment?
Okay.
You just share it with me. I've got a account, but if you just share it.
Then. Okay. Yep, I sent you a link, and you should be.
Okay.
Next item, discussion and decision on the reader board signs.
No updates.
No updates? Okay. Keep that on for next one. How about the update and decision on the solar grants?
I've met once with a representative from the company, not the same gentleman who came here, but one of the gals that works in the
office.
Yes. And we just did a tour of the buildings and looked at the roof lines, and she had a couple concerns, one of which is the amount of flat roof we have. Apparently their stands for the panels only go to 3 degrees, and the optimal angle is 30 degrees. So that's a bit of a challenge. And so she's sending an engineer out here to do some more math on, because we do have a south-facing pitched roof on the higher level of the station. It's not a lot of real estate, but it is an area. And so he's gonna come back and try to look at how many panels we could put between here and Cottonwood and what that might look like. So in the process.
Okay.
So you missed out a little bit. I believe you guys discussed this a little bit at the previous meeting, is that correct? So I missed out on some of that discussion. So the main thrust then is to try and obtain a solar system that will be competitive? Or what's the mission statement here in terms of competitiveness with what it costs us to acquire our power needs now?
So what they did is they did some energy audits for all of our three fire stations. And there are grants available currently through Northwestern Energy that are robust enough that in most cases, and it's really on a scale of how many kilowatt system that was installed, but an estimated 4-year payback on the install. So very good numbers. The question just is how many panels could we? We can do up to 50 kilowatts worth of power. Their numbers are very encouraging for what we could do with the building. We're just trying to figure out how many. One of the options was to put ground mounted panels out, but most of the board determined that we didn't want to lose any real estate, especially at this station. So we're looking at roof mounted options at this point.
So these would.
It's only going to cost, I think they're approximately about $650,000, but we can totally absorb that.
Mm-hmm. So these would be solar photovoltaic?
Yes, PV, all PV.
And net metering system?
Yep. Yes, all net metering, no batteries.
You act like you know something about it.
Just enough to be dangerous.
Any other?
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to follow up on that. I think one of the things we said at the last meeting that if this is continuing to be researched and so on, that at the fire breakfast we were going to have our table and we were going to have some form of some sort, get people to sign up and say, yeah, we like the idea of the board or HRFD to investigate solar and see where we might go with that, and then also to, as part of this deal would be to explain how we use our property or do things to show that this is a benefit to the community. And I got to thinking about, I tried to get in here last week for about 4 or 5 days, including Saturday and Sunday, to do this training of these microphones and stuff. And today was the first day, including last Saturday and Sunday, that we could even get in here. So I'm thinking, well, here's a community service, and I knew the room was used for some, but there's quite a bit of lighting and probably some other factors with that, and I think that's a thing in our favor to say, hey, look, this is a pretty big community service here. We might want to add that into our narrative about why we think this is a good thing to do for our public.
Any other comment on the solar system? Any public comment? Okay. Discussion and decision on the signage for the buildings.
No updates.
No updates, okay.
Can I ask, where are we continuing to try and acquire more information on that? Or what?
We are, but you know, when Lana left, she kind of left that project, and it just, yeah, we're working on it.
Okay.
Any public comment? Discussion on preliminary planning for the new Ray Fire Station.
Too soon.
Okay.
We could probably table that for maybe a couple months.
Yeah, okay.
Before I have anything really substantial.
Any public comment?
Yeah.
I'd have to turn it on. I don't know if that was on.
On top, there's a button. There you go.
I think I heard something.
Yep.
Yeah, you're up.
So you're looking at JJ, I'm on the microphone. Steve White, for your record. I guess I'm just curious, it's kind of why I came as I saw on the agenda, as to what is the plan? Are we talking about tearing down? I mean, I know you don't want to get into the details of it, but I'm just curious just what the thought process is that, is it a replacement of the building that is down on Gooch? Is it tearing down that building? Is it tearing down the building in the house? Is it, because I've, my understanding is that there might be a plan to expand the house in some way, which if you have the building and the house, it's kind of equivalent to this, but with just two buildings. And so I'm just, one big deal for me is, and Walt and I talked about this a couple of years ago, was when the consolidation occurred, that there was expectation from all of the taxpayers in the district that there wasn't going to be an increase in taxes. And I recognize that there's new buildings likely going to be a bond and have to go to the taxpayers again for that to be answered. But the reason I have interest in this is that, as you all know, I spend a lot of time working with the Trump family to pull this together. And without us getting our hands on that land and that building, there would not have been a consolidation that would have occurred. And I really just would like to know, and if you don't have enough to talk about, fine. It is on the agenda, so it's public. It's an opportunity to discuss it. But if there's some thought of tearing down that building, or even building a new firewall someplace else, and selling off that land or selling off that building, I guess I'd like to know what's going on, because the Trump family found out that became an asset that was going to be sold, because I was under the understanding that was not the way it was going to be managed, that it was an asset, and then you bought the house, and that was great. So anyway, I don't know if it made any sense, but that's kind of where I'm at. And if there's going to be further detailed investigation of this for future meetings, and I'll certainly be opposed to those.
Want me to tackle that, since sure. I brought it up?
Sure.
To specifically answer the question, Steve, there is no plan, and that's what this has to start. We know that that's a growth corridor. We know the activity is growing out there. The whole intent of that is to investigate how we continue to provide service as that part of this district builds out. We have Huffine, we have all those sorts of things. There is no idea about what it's supposed to look like. I suspect this is a multi-year process to understand what's going on out there, understand what our options are, look at locations, look at facilities, look at expansion, look at a basement. Whatever that is, it's all on the table as far as I'm concerned at the moment. But we need to start now if 10 years from now we're ready to do something.
And if I could, I guess I'd like to add to that too. One of the possible contingencies that was discussed when we purchased the adjacent property to the existing fire station was to look at, obviously we have a resource there that we're using in operations, in the sense of that house having a place to house a couple of firefighters there, but to take that resource and segue into the in future demands of the district because of the growth that's occurring that JJ mentioned, that we would hopefully be able to, or one possibility would be to site another structure on that land and possibly combine it with, not necessarily in a contiguous sense, but combine it in the sense of using the existing building and possibly siting another building there to meet the demands on that side of the district in the future. And as was mentioned, I mean, we're talking a few years out. This is the bond on this building basically is retired in 2028, I believe 2028. And I don't know, given the growth rate that's occurring in the valley, if we'll make it to that point or not. But in an ideal world, what would be nice is to be able to, you know, in some seamless fashion, move into, you know, the construction phase and bond something without having, you know, a net neutral effect on the taxpayers. That would be the ideal world. Whether that can be pulled off at this current growth rate, I don't know. We may have to pull the trigger on something earlier than that, given the growth rate. But yeah, then I don't know that, you know, there was any serious talk about selling that resource and moving somewhere else. I think the most serious talk is
there wasn't even any casual talk of
right
that.
I guess I should say there's no casual talk.
When you know, and I have advised the board that when when I suggested that the Ray board buy that piece of property adjacent to the building, it's because when drawing concentric circles around our district, that's a great spot. We wouldn't get the same reach being in another spot. So even though we have, as JJ said, absolutely no plan at this point at all, other than just being cognizant of the future, I don't know why we'd ever leave that piece of property, and I don't know why we'd ever tear down the existing fire station, because it's a solid building, and it just like I was the push to not tear down that building because it still has a use. So yeah, at this point, they're just tasking you with studying the metrics of it and looking at currently and over the last 5 years, how call responses in that Ray station area increased. What's the rate of increase? How is it compared to this side of the district? So right now we're just studying the issue without, I mean, JJ said it best, we have no plan at all.
And obviously, had we not had that opportunity to purchase the adjacent land, you know, our decisions would have been a little bit, decision possibilities would have been a more limited set. But now with that additional piece of land that we purchased adjacent to the existing station, you know, that provides us with a lot more opportunity to look at options.
And there's a number of options that we could entertain. The problem that we're trying to solve is the same problem every volunteer fire department has, is how do you utilize a volunteer workforce and still have response times that provide, you know, the best value-based service to the community. This station has been an unbelievable model of success in utilizing a volunteer workforce to drastically shorten response time and improve the level of service. And so the question is, how do we most affordably duplicate that task? And JJ started the discussion by saying to me very politely, can you cram more people in that house? So we already have three renters living in the house now. Can we get more in there? I said, no, it'll be like Animal House if we try to put more people in that small house. So it's ideas of, you know, we could create a long-term plan, we could have an interim plan. I suggested to the board, I don't know when or if the vet clinic across the street might go for sale, but another idea that we could build housing in that is an interim, and that would always have value as property that we could sell 5 years down the road. Do we pull the roof off the Ray station and build resident quarters on top of it? Could we get away with that from zoning? We have lots of options, and this is just the start of the conversation of what are the possible solutions out there, and which ones make the most financial sense.
Could I just add one more comment, Mr. Chair?
I think this is where Steve offers free land to us.
Yeah, we have 3 acres we want to get. That's why I came here.
It's so sweet, Steve.
No, I reflect on that horse pasture that is to the north, and to me, it's to the north of the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's just somewhere, it's a pile of unburned rubbish right now. I think it has been burned. Between the house and the hot tub, you know, I've always, when you got the house, I was kind of excited. But first of all, I want to congratulate you on everything this board's done. I mean, the financials are great. I mean, this is like night and day compared to the earlier days. And I just want to thank you for everything you guys have done. The sound system's great. I've been in a lot of meetings where there are people with hearing problems that haven't been able to hear you, and that's frustrating for them and you. And you don't find out they didn't hear anything until it's over and they said, I didn't hear a thing. And so this is very good. But that horse pasture, always, when you got the house, I thought, oh yeah, this works. Could be good. I said, well, you cleaned it up. It looks nice.
Whose horse pasture? Whose is it?
Those fire districts. Is it not?
It is. Well,
cool.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
No,
I'm just learning. This is my third meeting.
Do you know? Okay, let me back up. The Ray Fire Hall is down across the road from Wrestlers and to the south of Mount Hot Tub.
I've heard of it. Okay.
You've been on
it? I've heard of it.
Okay. You can take that out.
I didn't know the pastor was part of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was sold to them by Mark. Had it since I was right in school. I hope that's what you spotted from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Mark.
Incidentally, he was a barber who did his work at where the pickle barrel is today, just so you know the history. He was the barber that was in that little building. Okay. You know more than you ever wanted to know.
Thanks.
But anyway, when you acquired that land, I was excited because that pasture area, I see some potential there. I mean, I don't see any potential by leaving it as a horse pasture unless you're going to go back to Horse and Buddy with your fire equipment, which is not the case. But I have to reflect on what Mount Hot Tub has done, and I was nervous about their access, their egress onto Gooch, and I was glad to see they moved it, their main egress away from the upline. It seems to be working okay, but you have so much potential with that pasture. And like you said, Jason, you're absolutely right. This building was wise to leave it, and it's useful for whatever. And the same would be true of the other. It could be for repair, or washing, cleaning, whatever. But you have a lot of room for asphalt parking and a building in that pasture area. I'm excited about that, and so I was just going to plant that one little seed that Steve White said that, you know, that maybe that's one option to consider when you start listing out all the possible things. The zoning got changed, as we all know, over in Balcon Hollow or whatever, Cook's property, and there was, at one time, there was a square in there that was going to accommodate PL type zoning, and that's been changed to residential, so it removes some of your possibilities. But when you bought the Harn place, that opens up the door to you're not crowded as you would have been. So whatever you do with the house, you know, even if you expanded it, you still have the driveway you can eat up, and you still have that pasture. So what would it be, an acre?
No, it's more as a couple of
two acres.
2 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's golden.
And it's a little
horse pasture.
That's why?
The gentleman's horse pasture.
No, gentleman's horse pasture.
I was thinking 10, 20 acres out there. I'm like, what the
hell? College kids were renting that from Harns to pasture their horses until the grass would go away and the weeds were gone. Then those horses would disappear. But there were short-term rentals of horses in there, and it was kind of crazy, but it worked because there was water and stuff.
There was water.
So, and I think you've taken out some of the buildings too. I think the fire guys.
Well, a couple.
The buildings are all there.
No, the buildings are
still
there.
The old buildings are still there. Yeah. Okay, I just can't remember.
So to address 2 points that you raised, one is the zoning. Jason actually had a conversation downtown about that issue, and so that doesn't seem to be problematic if we chose to move forward with
it. You'd have to rezone?
But it would.
Oh, you know.
I talked to Randy about it, and it's zoned as high density multifamily, but if we wanted, because I went in there to say, hey, we might build a fire station here, so maybe we need to change the zoning into commercial, and Randy's like, no, you're fine. There has to be a public hearing, right? And
well, it's called a zone text amendment where they change it. But it's problematic because you have people that, and I don't know the dynamics of that neighborhood, but you have people that bought property, invested money in houses and their lots, anticipating no screaming fire trucks.
Right.
And they're already screaming because there are construction trucks going through their lot taking shortcuts. And that hearing could be loaded, but again, that's something that would be something to put on, you know, for public thought. But I always thought that wouldn't be too bad.
So and the other thing that we looked at is the measurements of that property, and the dimensions of that property are such that took this building as an example. I'm not saying that we would take this specific building, but this building would fit on that site with enough room for.
So if you set the building back towards the trees, or
well, it depends on how you want it to loop around the building.
You'd still end up with a lot of.
You'd end up with parking, but it depended on how you wanted to design the flow, traffic flow in and out of.
No, I was excited because if you see that house with the property, that to me was a great acquisition. If it had just been a house and a driveway, it would have not been, it would have been okay, but you got a bonus.
And the other thing that we did too, when we purchased that property, it was a condition that we placed on it prior to purchase, is we had a geotech performed on it. So we know we're good in that sense too.
Well, I was just shocked that actually Mountain Hot Tub was able to build where they built with all
the actually, the underlying structure of the soil is fine. It's just, it's raising it above the water in, which is not problematic. It's compacted fill.
Cooks can fill in the swales and stuff next to Brendan's place down on the Huffine and sell that for commercial. Anything's possible.
Right.
I mean, I never thought that was going to, anything would happen there, but it's, everything's good, so. But now, congratulations on, you know, the future discussions, and I'll be back.
So question.
Thank you.
Question, Steve. I guess I didn't follow everything. The Trunk family have any problem, or is there something with the Harn house?
No.
It could be torn down. It could be changed around. That's all good.
There's no contingencies. I'm just sitting here recognizing my involvement and in the discussions I had with the family. I didn't make any promises, but I always kind of hoped that. You know, that, it didn't happen, and I never heard it even thought about, but if they had gifted the land and the building, and after the gift was, transaction was completed, that then the fire district would have sold off the building and pocketed the money. I never heard anything like that, but that would have been the ultimate bad thing for me, because I would have had egg on my face.
That's the fire building that you're talking about.
The fire hall, not the house. The fire hall, because there was no discussion of the Harn house at that time. It was just the fire hall, because they were in, I don't know if you knew this, Nick, and I think some of the board knows this, that the original thought was I was working up a deal where they would maybe sell the building to the fire district. And out of the blue, after their family discussions, and they had a lot of health problems in their family at the time, they called me up, the one person I know in the family really well, and she called me up and she said, well, we're interested in conveying the property to the district, but we changed our mind on how we want to do it. And I said, oh, really? How do you want to do it? And she says, we want to gift it, because that's what Dad would have wanted. And their father died 20 years ago, Frank Chunk. And I said, gift it? And he said, yeah, and then as we're discussing, I says, well, don't forget, there's some tax advantage to doing that. Really? Why? How? And I said, you're gifting a considerable amount of value to the fire district, and they didn't even do it for that reason. They did it simply because their father was responsible for providing the land for the building, and I think the building, and just as long as there was the use by the fire company, that they could use it. But if they were vacated, he got it back. And so the Trunk family was responsible for, on their own, I didn't tell them to, just simply signing a piece of paper and you guys got yourselves an asset. And I just was hoping to preserve that and keep it the way that their father had always thought it would be. But I think that that's, you know, I don't have any fears over it. I just was wondering, you know. I've never been in, they've never called me and says, what are they doing with it, you know.
That's very good.
That was a great thing for this district.
So the question then for the progression of this, as I understand it, the metrics of calls and so on, so we look for a report in what, month, 2 months? And then we'll look to see if there's other metrics to do. I guess I'm wondering at some point if we want to draw a tentative timeline, or not so much a timeline, but a progression of steps, you know, what kind of building, what kind of, you know, remodel existing, blah, 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 and kind of tick those off. There's some kind of a flow chart that we want to come up with some way that we would, that the board should endorse. And the reason I ask that is I think the public would be really served if they knew we had a progressive plan. plan. I think all the things I've heard here tonight show that we are very concerned about the tax dollar as well as the importance of getting good service. But how do we get to it? I really don't want to see us suddenly fill this room with people throwing rocks and tomatoes and hearing us very well, hopefully. But the fact is, if we had a flow chart, tentative flow chart that we could build and kind of work on, that might be helpful to the public and give them some reassurance that we're really going at it in a proper way. So I don't know how we move to that plan, but I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'd suggest we think about a future meeting or something, or putting together a committee to kind of highlight some things. Probably once the staff has come up with their first estimate of the metrics around the thoughts of doing this. Thank you.
Well, in my opinion right now, Jason is tasked with getting us information, and so right now it's really preliminary, and I think we're waiting for his input, and so I don't think that we need a timeline of, get back to me in a month or 3 months. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I think, in just my opinion, is that what I'm going to produce for you guys is a needs assessment, which will involve all those metrics, and maybe I'll throw in as many options as I can potentially think to address the problem, both from an immediate standpoint to a long-term standpoint, and if the board wants to proceed with anything beyond that point, that's at your discretion.
Okay. It's good for me.
I guess I'm concerned about that this door has been opened, the opening salvo of something that I thought probably would happen, and it may still happen only after 10 years. But I'm concerned about the public who's saying all of a sudden, oh, they're going to try to build a fire station without knowing the background facts. And I'd like to be prepared to say, yes, this has come up. This is the start of the planning. This is minus 0.000 time of even the plan, but here are the realities which he will address very soon, 2 or 3 months. And then we continue to think about, well, what are the steps then we can do, and how do we bring the public along so that they understand what's going on? There's just so much taxing in this valley right now that I think everybody's gun shy, and we still owe $2 million on this building. So like if Walt said, it'd be nice to finish off and pay this in 2028 or something like that, and then start over and don't have to assess, drop those mills. We can use those mills to build a new building. And that may happen, I don't know, but I really want to make sure we bring people along the best we can.
Good.
Is there still public comment?
Yes, please.
Pat Wilson, I guess I just wanted to echo what Nick had to say. I'm relieved to hear that the planning is a little further out when I see the preliminary planning. I don't know how many of you guys who are in the Anderson District were a little surprised by the suddenness and the amount of what popped up there. It's a very expensive levy coming up that has a lot of people swallowing their garden, like in very fast, trying to decide which hole to fill up. And I know part of the reason is they're trying to beat the Law and Justice Center because they don't want to be on the same ballot. And I think you're probably blinking pretty hard as well with regard to wondering what's going to happen. And so I guess my only request would be, I don't dispute the need, but, go loudly, go slowly with your planning, make sure nobody's surprised like we were with what happened at Anderson. High school, I think the impacts aren't going to be quite as hard because your growth's going to buffer some of that, but when you have the high school, when you have the Law and Justice Center, when some of us have Anderson, and then down the road you're looking at a fire station, eventually people are going to hit a threshold that they say, I can't do it anymore, and I want to still live here, so I'm just going to vote no on everything that comes in my mail. And so, I guess as you're going slowly, going loudly, I would also throw out, I don't have any plans, any specifics, but before the two boards went to the legislature and asked for changes in the law that consolidate service areas and districts. You know, we were part of it. It wasn't possible to do, and you know, impact fees, I think, are bad words in some parts of this county, but when you're building subdivisions the size of Three Forks, you don't ask Manhattan to pay for the infrastructure. We ask for Three Forks to pay for it. So, you know, in that time, in your planning, maybe you consider going to the legislature and say, when we're building subdivisions the size of Three Forks, can you get them to pay for it? And I can't believe that with the housing costs in this valley, if you whack $5,000 per house in these 600-unit subdivisions, that people would say, oh, I can't afford it now. I just simply don't believe that, so.
They'd argue that, though.
They'd argue that. Swimby is going to argue the charges. But, you know, I talked about this with a group of people today, and a lot of them are in the Highland Foothills neighborhood, and they're thinking pretty hard about what to do to support education. They're thinking pretty hard about law and justice, and I mentioned this was on the deal, and you could just see the eyes rolling back. So I guess the only thing I would offer is go slowly, go loudly, so they're not surprised like Anderson people and everybody else. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to comment. I think that's a point well made, and I think it would be obviously a very important part of our fiduciary role to recognize that issue. You know, when we're looking at the new tax assessment that came out this year, and a lot of people in this valley in Galvin County were looking at 18 to 20 some percent increases in property tax assessments due to the reappraisal that came out. It's a real issue, and so obviously, I'm speaking for myself, but I suspect most of the people, my colleagues on this board, would agree that I don't think anybody wants to go out there and without considerable thought, you know, make a decision that includes that concern, because I can't agree more. That is a real concern. There is, quite honestly, going to be taxpayer fatigue in this valley. You can't sustain double-digit increases in tax rates and not expect to see taxpayer fatigue. It's going to be a reality. So it's obviously a responsibility that we have as trustees to take that into consideration when we make decisions. And on the other side, we have the demand side for resource, you know, for service calls. And so, yeah, we're faced with that responsibility. And so I know I can speak from my perspective. I can't speak for all the trustees, but I will definitely take that into consideration and the taxpayer fatigue issue. Because, yeah, when my taxes go up $1,000, that's a real deal. And that's what I'm faced with right now. And so, it's important.
Any other comment?
Is there a way for us to make sure to be a little louder with some of our website stuff and some of that? Because Pat's point is really well taken. I'm not used to broadcasting stuff, but that could be important to say. For those of you that just had to go to the bathroom because you saw the website, we're not, this is a 10-year long-term deal, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I guess I'd ask.
I don't know if it's better or if it's worse. Because look what this agenda item did. So, I mean, I think we should just continue or start to refer to it as just doing needs assessment instead of station building plans, because that's truly what it is at this point. And, you know, the wording of this agenda item might have, might as well have said fire. because that's truly what we're doing right now is we're assessing the need, not even close to talking about plans. So, and maybe we can update the needs assessment piece on the website as they come. Yeah.
I would recommend to staff that we do something to more accurately reflect what the heck we're actually doing.
Right.
And save the cardiac arrest calls in Highland Foothills.
Do we want to change the what the line item says?
Yeah, I would take this line item off of future agendas, and when I have a report for you guys. We'll talk about it as an update of a needs assessment for the west end of our fire district. And you know, and again, I agree with Pat completely, and I agree with Steve, and I agree with Walt, and I agree with Nick. I mean, yeah, this is, it's long-term planning is what we're doing, and we just don't want to get, we want to stay ahead of it. And us buying that land when we did, as Steve said, was a great idea, just planning for the future, because that is, if we waited till we needed to build a station, that land would two or three times what it would cost us today, yeah. Yep. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other public comment? All right. Fire Chief's report.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go through everything written in here because it's all pretty standard stuff, but I'll give you some updates on our equipment. The new Rescue 6 is working out well. We did, I think I updated you guys that we had the warranty work performed by Pierce Manufacturing. We have it back. It's doing great, but our mechanic, Tom at Best Rate, did find that the rear axle alignment was a little too far off, because when it went back to Pierce, they had to drop the rear axle to redo the rear suspension. So that's just another little minor warranty issue that we had to work out, but not a big deal. Everything else in its operation is really fantastic. It's a great truck, and everybody is liking it on responses. It went to its first fire on Patterson a month and 5-6 weeks ago. So it's doing well. From equipment, from a capital replacement standpoint, we are way past due in replacing our SCBAs, our breathing apparatus. Standard replacement time for those are 5 to 10 years. We're at 16, 17 years, so they are long in the tooth, and that's one of those pieces of equipment that you just don't take chances with, because that's everybody's lives, the firefighters. So we're gonna start soon. We haven't even talked to the vendors yet, doing an analysis of air packs and seeing what's new, what's out there, and what might make sense. But that's definitely something included in our capital replacement plan, and we have funds available for that.
I want them to weigh 3 pounds and last for an hour.
Those are the cheapest ones, yeah. the twins. I've talked to the board before about the kind of the high maintenance standpoint of the twins. We just had yet another tank failure of the water tank on engine 6-3. That does have a poly tank in it that has a lifetime warranty, which is great, except when the guy flew out to fix it, he said, oh my gosh, that's not what he said, but I'm going to change that a little bit, because it had failed so catastrophically. So we are definitely,
because it sits up so high and gives so much torque.
So there have been a lot of theories of why those tanks have had so many problems. But it seems to be the most popular theory amongst the tank companies and different apparatus companies are those chassis were severe duty chassis, and they have so little give in them from a suspension standpoint and how stiff the frames are, that every impact is really hits that tank, the water tank, hard, and it's hard on them. I mean, they are standard UPF tanks, which is the company that produces almost all poly tanks for fire apparatus. But I think that truck's tank has been repaired at least 3 times since I've been here, and same with the other twin, because it's the same configuration. And then the other twin catastrophically failed its pump test last week. So it's going to need a pump rebuild. That it's rated at 1,250 gallons per minute, and it barely produced 500. So we're going to have to do a full pump rebuild. So just throwing it out there that those trucks are getting into their usable lifespan. Again, we have budgeted for that in our capital replacement. So,
Question on the tank, is the tank failure, is tank replacement a feasible option, or is it...
Yeah, I mean, UPF at some point is going to have to decide whether they want to keep flying somebody out here to fix them. I mean, this time where it failed was at the top of its flat, and I mean, it's a square tank, and the entire top 90 degree joint failed, and the entire side of it blew out. So that's a tough thing to fix, because it's, you know, it's already caused that bow in the material, the plastic, and that has a bit of a memory to it. And they're worried that even when they fix it, that with that bow in, it's going to keep pulling out. And so at some point, again, the tanks do have a lifetime warranty. But every time this happens, that truck's been out of service now for 3 weeks.
Currently?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the problem is, yes, it's a warranty, but it's not like calling the Toyota dealership to do a warranty work or the Dodge dealership. It's out of service.
So I guess, like to elaborate on my question. So my question then is, given the age of the truck and the chassis and so on, the rest of the components, would it be justified to replace the tank to gain a little bit more service out of that vehicle, or are you just prepping us up for a discussion to replace one of those trucks?
I mean, we absolutely. I mean, we could replace the tank.
And get
and they may service. Even pay for it. Mm-hmm. If the question is it just going to be... We've already had to discontinue our cap systems on this truck because we couldn't keep those in service, which is okay because we've kind of lost our taste for cabs at this point. But those trucks... And again, when we get closer to this, I will give you guys a full analysis of days out of service, how much it's costing us to repair those trucks and everything else. How old are they at this point?
17 years.
Yeah, and so our projected replacement date is 20. So this is not, this isn't like half through their life. They're well on their way to be a replacement age anyways. I'm just giving you guys an update that they're out of service. And then, yeah, so. And we've got to rebuild the pump on engine 6.2, so it'll be out of service for a couple weeks while we do that. And we can do that in-house, but it's just a long process. Those pumps are hard to get to. Mm-hmm. They're buried in those trucks. Unlike our new Rescue 6, which we bought with the cab over design, which we can get to the pump much. We did that for repair reasons alone. And on other good news... Utility 6, which is the old pickup truck that we have been using as an EMS response unit out of Cottonwood for years. It was a donation years ago by Marcy to the department, but it also, it what year was it?
98.
Yeah, it's a 98 Chevy 3/4 ton long box crew cab pickup truck. And we keep having ongoing issues with it as well. And again, we can keep repairing it, but getting a more suitable vehicle in the not too distant future for that. So we're working on different options, whether that's another pickup truck or other van configuration for an EMS response. And so the public knows, we out of our Cottonwood station is where we have our sleeper nights. So we have 4 to 5 firefighters sleep there as volunteers at night. And we use that pickup truck so that on every medical call, they don't have to roll the big engine, which has a number of advantages. One is that maintenance on a small vehicle is much cheaper. So any mileage you put on a small vehicle, whether it's tires, brakes, anything, is cheaper. We don't risk freezing the pumps on our trucks in the wintertime. And Cottonwood Road is awful, as you all know, in the wintertime, and it's much safer to be driving a smaller vehicle on the road. So. It's a good use for a smaller vehicle like that. So just, I'm giving, and you guys who've been on the board a while know that I like to give you guys lots of advance notice whenever I'm looking at anything. So that's most of what this report has been on our equipment. It's just, other than the SCBAs, it's much more of a something we're gonna do this year for sure.
Any public comment?
One final on the SCBAs.
Yep.
Are those staged purchases or just?
Yep, that's all at once.
One time. Yeah. And then the Cascades and so on, do they have to be replaced then too? Just the SCBAs?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, all of our filling ability won't change. At least I will say we will buy products that don't require different filling apparatus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other comment? Okay. Trustee activities?
Oh. I'm very inactive.
Yeah.
Nice. So we have the, I guess just the, Cheryl mentioned it on the 8th, be more activity occurring with the audit here right at the station. So we'll be doing interviews on site.
Okay. And a reminder again, pancake breakfast is October 5th.
I was going to say.
Sorry, breakfast. Oh, I didn't even see it there.
I'm sorry?
Just out of curiosity, how many board members will be at the table to maybe assess the solar thing and help?
I'm incredibly unreliable, depending on the needs of the public. But I've got it on my calendar. I'll be here.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
All right, well, everyone, thank you so much for coming, and meeting adjourned.
Next meeting.
It's like the October 15th.
That works for me.
Everybody like October 15th?
That works for me. Come visit you during the day. Make friends with Kevin so he can come visit you during the day. Okay. He's going to be lonesome.
Just leave a couple pork chops out.
October is next month.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Steve.
And a phone number for you.
Yeah.